The question today is, should hell be used as a scare tactic to get people saved? That question, of course, is being, as it comes to me, I know of a lot of people who actually use hell as a scare tactic, or death as well, as a scare tactic to get people to make a profession of faith. They call it to get to being saved, but really what it amounts to is they do make a profession, and that's all it is, because there's no profession in that. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear if we really look at it. Now, I know there's some people that speak about the fact that Jesus used this in his method to how he dealt with people. I had someone to tell me this not long ago. That's the way Jesus did, and he quoted Matthew 10:28, where Jesus did give a warning to the Pharisees, and he said, "Fear not man, who can destroy only the body, but fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, the fear he's talking about is to fear, respect, and reverence God. In other words, it's reverence for all with a hatred for evil, and God's got to give you that. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes, meaning before the natural man's eyes. Until God does a work in their heart, there is no fear. But you say, "Oh, I had a fear of God." Many people have a fear of hell. And it's a phobia. It's not respect and reverence for God, but it's the phobia. And I want to say this concerning what that man told me. He's using another form of easy believism when he practices this, because Jesus never used the scare tactic when dealing with people. He did deal with the woman at the well's sin. She didn't deny the fact she had been married 5 times and shacked up with another. And then he brought her down, and she wanted to discuss worship because they'd done more talking than what's actually recorded in the Scripture. But then he came down to the point and said and revealed himself to her. And she said, "We know the Messiah's coming." And he revealed himself to her, and she was saved. And he never mentioned the fact of hell. He never mentioned the fact. In fact, the book of John, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 20, verse number 30 and 31, about Jesus doing many more miracles than what John recorded. Up to that point, John had only recorded 7 miracles that Jesus did, and he did enough miracles that John said that if all were recorded, the books of the earth would not even hold those as a library. My, how many miracles did he perform? We don't have any clue. But John only recorded 7. And then he said in verse 31 that these that's written are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing you might have life. So the book of John, it is written that you might be saved. That's the best book for anybody who's seeking the Lord or realizes they're not saved, is to read the book of John. Because it's written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, Jesus in that book never one time mentioned hell. Not one time did he ever mention hell. But he mentioned heaven a lot in that book. And by the way, God don't save you to carry you to heaven. He don't save you to keep you out of hell. So you can't use hell as a scare tactic to get people saved. I remember one time I was in a meeting. He was the main speaker in a meeting, a camp meeting. And he made the statement that the only way you can ever get anybody saved is to preach on hell. Folks, that all that's going to do is make false professions. That's all you preach on. Sure, we need to preach on hell. People need to know hell's real. Hell's hot. Hell's terrible. And there is that place that we need to shun. But yet you can't shun it within yourself. It takes the work of God that you might come to the place to be be convinced that Jesus is who you need as the righteousness of God. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so therefore, as that man used that, said that about preaching on hell, he didn't understand the Bible. He didn't have light. He was blinded to some things, because the Bible's very clear in Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, what leads a man to repentance, and repentance is necessary to be saved. And he doesn't mention hell. He mentions the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, the forbearance of God. And in other words, that forbearance means he's holding off the wrath off of every man who's reached the knowledge of accountability. It hangs over their head, but he holds back that wrath, giving you a space of repentance. And as he does that, what does he do? He suffers long. He's long-suffering. That means he suffers long with you while you are really injurious toward our Lord, toward your Lord, the Lord. In other words, you're enemies of God, the Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse number 10, 5, 8, says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us enough to die for us while we were yet sinners. Christ loved us. And there's some people who believe this about that you must preach on hell, and you listen to them preach, all they want to do is just to scare people, to stir them up, so that they'll get scared and make a false profession. Oh, they don't say it's a false profession, but that's what they make if that's all they have. And they do that because they think they're blinded to the truth of the gospel and don't see that it's... In fact, the same fellow said basically God doesn't even love a sinner. He doesn't love it. But the Bible said very plainly He loved us. I know He's angry with the wicked every day. I understand that. But that's God's side. But yet He does love sinners. He went to the cross of Calvary and died on the cross of Calvary. And the first thing He said with every bone out of joint, oh, what pain and what agony. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, He's praying for us. He's praying for every sinner. And you realize something. His goodness leads you to repentance, the Bible said. And so therefore, you need to realize that. So it's the Lord's work. Salvation is of the Lord, is what it amounts to. And you need to understand that. In other words, you may have a fear, and that's good if it brings you to the fear and respect and reverence of the Holy God. But this thing, idea of a scare tactic, it's not right, and it's not good. I've seen many times when people stand up and say they're lost. And you know, listen, don't let that bother you. I mean, if a man's lost, he may be lost in the head, not the heart. He's got a revelation of his lostness, not a reality. But God's got to bring him to the reality of that separation from God, that lostness, before he can ever get saved. And just because a man weeps a few tears and says, I'm lost, don't mean he's ready to be saved. And so what people sometimes want to do, we've had it happen in services, at New Hope Baptist Church, visiting preachers sometimes will stand up and say, when I give them an opportunity to say something, they'll say, make sure, you know, what if you died before morning? What if the Lord was to come? That's nothing but a scare tactic to try to get somebody upset. Well, folks, that won't work. All that'll do is make a false profession and make people more the child of hell. And we don't need that. That's another form of easy believism, if you please. And it's leaving out the work of the Holy Spirit. There must be a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So it's not just a scare tactic that you need to use. And these people who say Jesus used that, they don't understand. Jesus knew exactly where every person was. He never dealt with any two people the same way. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why did he tell him that? It's because his first birth was no good as far as getting him to heaven. Even though he was of a lineage of Abraham, even though he was a Hebrew, and he was proud of that. And there wasn't nothing wrong in one way to be proud of that heritage. But folks, listen, man is born in the image of Adam. He's not born in the image of God. And your first birth needs to... That's why he said you must be born again. Your first birth is not good enough. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much royal blood you might have in your veins. You still must be born again. You're born above. And Jesus never told anybody else you've got to be born again, even though all people have to be born again. But that was that man's problem. That was what he was depending on. And Jesus reached in and pulled the crutch out from under him. And so as a result... He said, you must be born again. Your first birth, not good enough. And as I said a while ago, the woman at the well, he dealt with her different than he did the Nicodemus. And then we think about the rich man, the rich young ruler, we call him that. He came to Jesus and said, what must I, a good master, good title? But it's a title of respect. It's equivalent to the word Lord, but he wasn't his Lord. He was just good master. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus dealt with him in a different way than he dealt with anyone else. I mean, after all, he said, keep the law. And he said, which laws to keep? And he mentioned the six laws that deals, or at least five of them, that deals with the ones that deals with the fellow man. And the last five, at least. And even involved was number five, which was honor your father and mother. That could be involved too. That's dealing with a fellow man. But he said, this I've done from my youth. But the man hadn't done that. And Jesus never chided him for saying he had done it, because the man was blinded and deceived, didn't know his own heart. And so as a result, he just answered according to his flesh. And Jesus knew he would. But then he said, yet thou lackest one thing. Go sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Now, folks, I want to tell you, selling something don't make you saved. But this man had a God. It was his materialism. And the Lord Jesus put his finger on his God. and said, you've got to get rid of your other gods is what you've got to do. See, he dealt with a relationship to his fellow man first, and then he dealt with a relationship to the other four commandments and his relationship toward God. And the man wasn't willing to jump his gods for the Lord of his life. And so as a result, he went away sorrowful. And Jesus didn't try to bring him back. He didn't say, hey, fellow, you're going to hell. You see, you realize something. Too many people believe that you go to hell, and they think, well, I'll stop him. I'd give invitations back in the easy believism days, trying to put a fear in people. But folks, you see, hell should never be used as a scare tactic to get some people saved. In fact, all it'll do is make them make a false profession. And so therefore, as we look at the Bible, what did Jesus speak more about? Somebody said, oh, he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. I've heard that all my life. I've even heard it said that Jesus spoke 14 more times about hell than he did about heaven. Well, I got to counting them up one day, and I found there's only 19 times the word is used that mentioned hell. That's Gehenna or Hades in the New Testament. And 19 times Jesus mentioned it, and he mentioned heaven. It's mentioned about 140-something, but about half of that is actually dealing with the heaven as far as the third heaven is concerned. And so as a result, you see, he spoke a whole lot more about heaven than he did about hell. And his goodness leads you to repentance. Now, God don't save you just to go to heaven either, by the way. He don't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for his glory. And so you need to realize that. Now, I've even broke down that ratio further in the New Testament as I figured the whole New Testament and how many times hell was used and how many times heaven was used. And I looked and I realized that I even used all the words such as perish and destruction and didn't even use any words that alluded to heaven, such as John chapter 14, verse number 1. But I found out that it's at least all through the New Testament that heaven is mentioned at least 1.5 times more than hell, in other words. And so in any alluded to, and I didn't even count the ones like John 14, 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's a beautiful picture about heaven. But the Lord never used hell as a scare tactic. Sure, he warned them of it, but he never used it as a scare tactic to get people saved. And if you use it as a scare tactic to get people saved, you're going to wind up with a church full of lost people. And I'm not in the tear-making business by the grace of God. And Lord help us not to use hell as a scare tactic to get people saved. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.